Come on, Claire. Well done, guys. Come on. Come on, guys. Down the front. Whee, well done. Do you want to sit by there? Do you want to sit there? Ah, good. Excellent. Well done. Well done, guys. Very good. Okay. Now then, normally, now the thing is, the grown-ups think that they're not going to take part because it's a family service. When you become a Christian, are you part of a family? Yeah? And what's our family called? We're the family of Christians. Yeah, family of God, family of Jesus Christ. And we're all a family. Now, they say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. No, then, it's a lovely thing. Now, when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus, it's a wonderful thing. They become part of your family. And some of them are the people you just don't expect. You think, what? That person's become a Christian. I don't believe it. But you know what? When they become a Christian, they are part of your family. And guess what? If they're part of your family, you've got to love them, haven't you? And you've got to love the members of your family. It's a great thing. Tell me, do you love your family? Say yes. Do you love your family? No, you've got to tell you why. Your rent is going to go up. Yours is. Now, let me ask you that question again, James. Do you love your family? Yeah, look behind you. Yeah, you've had it. Okay, and the thing is, let me ask the grown-ups. Have you all got a Bible with you? Because you're going to need one. Okay, if you haven't, I think they're up the back. If you put your hand up, somebody will get a Bible for you. So grown-ups thought they're going to have an easy time today. They're going to sit there, and all you youngsters are going to do all the hard work. Now, at this point in time, we normally do the announcements. Now, I thought, do you know, I'm the second, and I usually do the announcements. Or Brian, if he is here, he would do the announcements. But I thought, let's pick on somebody else to do the announcements, shall we? So who shall we pick on to do the announcements today? Your dad. Your dad. All right, then. Okay. I need a microphone. Where's the microphone gone? There we go. No, he'd have to stand very close to me. It's strange. Right. Okay, Matt. Got a microphone for you. And there's our announcements for the week. Do you want to come up here? Stand up here. Yeah, come on. Come on. Right. I'll hand over to Matthew now for announcements this week.
Okay. On Monday, we've got mother and toddler group, 10 till 12. And men's meeting at 7. Sorry, that's on Tuesday. Tuesday then, men's meeting at 7. Wednesday, choir practice for the tenors at 6. Prayer meeting and Bible study at 7. Thursday, we've got Bible school where we're studying Ezra at 6. And then Friday, we've got Blast, Drama, Compass Club, 5 till 8.30. And then next Sunday, we've got our prayer meeting at 9.15. Adult Sunday school at 9.45. And morning service and junior Sunday school at 10:45.
Oh, he's good, wasn't he? There we are, he's excellent. Great. I go, ooh. There is one thing, there is no choir practice this afternoon because Steve isn't around, okay, so there's no choir practice. I think it was for the bass this afternoon, isn't it? Oh, there's still going to be alto practice this afternoon, okay, so if you're at the altos, you can still meet half past four. Yeah, and it'll be downstairs. So altos, downstairs for your choir practice. Yes, Saturday, the church will be open from 12 until 1 o'clock. So if you're going to bring some veg for the harvest service next Sunday, the church will be open on Saturday between 12 and 1 o'clock, and the table is always set out, and it looks fabulous. And then on the Monday, we're going to be peeling all the veg then, okay? So we're going to meet downstairs in the church. That's on the 7th. So bring a peeler and a sharp knife, and we're going to peel all the veg, and we're going to go downstairs and get it all ready for our harvest supper, which is in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you want to come along to our harvest supper, there's a sign-up sheet there. Just give us an idea of numbers. Pop your name down there, and it'll be lovely to see you, okay? There's a lot coming up in October. If you have a look in the bulletin, if you haven't had the bulletin, They're out the back there, and there's a big list of everything that's coming up in October. So you make a note of those. Okay. Right. I think we need to take up the collection. So, normally, James, you're very quick there. Who's the nearest to the collection, Mark? James? Oh, it's in between. It's up to you. One of you can do it. Do you want to do the collection? There you go. Okay. If you do the collection then. And just before we take up the collection, we'll give thanks. And then I'll ask Julian if you can give thanks for the offering this morning. Okay. Thank you, Julian. Okay, we're going to take up our collection, and as we take up the collection, we're going to sing our next hymn, which is 7507. 7507, which will be on screen rapidly in a minute. Luke, you weren't looking at, you were looking at some of us. when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Let's stand as we sing, and we'll take up the collection. We haven't sung that one for a long time. It's lovely to sing that. Okay, we can have a special now. And Sophie's going to come along. And do you want to go in the pulpit? Yeah, come on, go in the pulpit. And so you won't be by yourself. I'll come up there as well.
Well done, Sophie. So this poem is based on the verse 1 Peter 5:7, which is, "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." And this is a verse that's really just helped me the past couple of weeks. Cast all your cares upon him. Give to God all your fears. Let the love of the Saviour dry the river of your tears. Shed those anxious thoughts that prey upon your mind. And the splendid peace of God you will come to know and find. Release to God all your worries, all the concerns trapped within. Give them over to the Lord, and his confidence you'll win. Free yourself from your distress. Be not a part of fear's slavery. Let go and let God comfort you, and in him you'll find bravery. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Give him all your heavy burdens, for it is what Jesus came to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, question. Question for the children. What's the fastest thing you can think of? Put your hands up. What's the fastest thing you can think of? What do you think? Can you think of something? Something fast? No, that's all right, James.
Teacher and a runner.
A teacher and a runner? What?
A cheetah.
What's that?
Cheetah.
Oh, a cheetah. Cheetah. I was going to get all the teachers to stand up. Cheetah, yeah, and have a race, is it? Anybody else? What do you think? Your internet. Oh. Oh. How fast is your internet? Really fast. Is it faster than cheetah?
Probably.
Anybody else? Can you think of something really fast? Is that, oh, yeah, you got something else? A racing car. Oh, yeah, I think so. It's only faster if your nanny's driving it. And it's strange when...
What about on pick and chip when nanny runs?
A nanny runs, oh, I don't know, I haven't seen nanny running.
Children.
I know she's fast in the car, she always gets her foot taken. As she goes along, all these lights are flashing behind her. So she's really fast. But talking of that, did somebody sneak an answer to you then? Did he? What did he say?
My dad told him to say light.
Did he? Oh. Light, yeah. Light is fast, isn't it? Can anybody think of anything faster than light? Oh, this would be interesting.
No,
I don't think sound is faster. James, I can't think you're going to come up with an answer here.
Jesus?
Yeah, no, that's a clever answer. That is a very clever answer. And what I would say is, absolutely, Jesus is faster than light, because who created light?
Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Jesus is definitely faster than light. But we are definitely going to talk about light. Now, light is faster than sound. And did you ever do that experiment in school? You used to watch a man, way in the distance, and he'd be hitting a post in. And you'd see the hammer go down. And then you'd hear the sound. And you think, but you saw him. And then you'd hear the sound, which means light travels faster than sound. Who knows how fast light travels? There's a lot of hands going up over here. So anybody this side? Anybody know how fast light travels? Come on then, James. Now Daddy's looking a bit confused.
One day. No.
I could say in a day, but I couldn't work that out mathematically. Need Uncle Andrew here. Right, let's ask the grown-ups. How fast does light travel? Hands up, grown-ups. Oh, come on, one of you would know it. This is primary school stuff. Yes. There you go.
It's twice the speed of half of it.
Okay. Give me... I want it in miles per second.
Oh, I can't do that. I can only do it in kilometres.
Oh, right. Oh, kilometres. Oh. Sorry, that's a different age group, that is. Uncle Andrew will know.
It's a long time since I went to school, but 186,000 miles per second.
Yes! That's amazing! That's amazing! In 1 second, everybody count to one after three, ready? One, two, three. Light has just travelled 186,000 miles in that 1 second. Now then, that means it would have gone to the moon and back in about 2¾ seconds. That's how fast light is. That's amazing. And if you think about it, when we put the spotlights on up there, poof, it's instant, isn't it? We don't have to wait. When you see somebody coming in the distance, it's because light is reflecting off and you can see them come in. Light is amazing. That's why when I move my hand like that, you can see it moving. Because the light is coming and hitting your eyes so quick, that's just incredible. 186,000 miles in 1 second. Now then, let's see who the clever people are. How fast can light go around this world then in 1 second? How many times? So the world is 25,000 miles about around. So 25,000 into 186,000, roughly how many times?
Seven.
I suppose. It's about six and a bit, is it? Seven and a bit. Brilliant. You got a mathematician in your family. Well done. That's the speed of light. That's amazing. So in 1 second, it can whip around the Earth in about seven times. That's why your internet is so quick, because it travels at nearly the speed of light. In this church, it travels about nearly the speed of a snail. No, it's quite good, really. Right, so what's the biggest light you can think of? Hands up. Oh, let's go to the side. What's the biggest light you can think of?
Sun.
Yes, the sun is the biggest light you can think of. Can you think of any other lights? What else generates light? Come on, there's loads.
Stars?
Stars, yeah. Can you think of something else?
Three.
A what?
Three.
Three answers.
Computer?
Well, yeah, I suppose it does. When you switch it on, the screen comes on.
Television?
Yes, anything else?
A torch.
Torch, yeah. Light. And my life is like a little...
lamp?
Yes, a lamp does. Hang on. And a...
candle.
Excellent. Candles, torches, lights, all sorts of things generate light, don't they? And we're going to sing one now, right? We're going to sing a little song about life is like a little candle. 7085, boys. Nope. 7085 should be. There you go. And we all know this one. Everybody get up then. Up you stand. I want to see those muscles being flexed. I don't want to see you go like that. Okay, there you go. My life. Sit down. To shine with all my love. There's no emphasis there. Okay. What would it be like without light then? Can you imagine the only light that we ever had was the sun? Nothing else, just the sun. Now in the winter, that would mean it'd only be light. Let's think. You'd be home from school by about 3:30, 4:00. So you probably have your breakfast or your dinner, and then you go straight to bed, and then you'd be up again when it gets light in the morning. All the parents saying, yeah, it's a great idea. Which would be about 8:00. But in the summer, gosh, it'd be light at 4 in the morning, and it wouldn't get dark till 10:00 at night, so you wouldn't be in bed long. But what if there was no other light? What would you do? That would be really strange, wouldn't it? So there'd be no street lights, it'd be pitch black all the time, unless the moon was out, because that's another bright light in the night, isn't it? It would be very, very strong. Right. What we're going to do is we're going to have a reading now from the scriptures, and I'm going to pick on one of the grown-ups to do it. your mum, it's going to be a very family thing now. So, but what I'm going to do is, because Rosalind's laughing up the back, I'm going to pick on Auntie Rosalind to do a reading. You ready, Rosalind? Right. Do me a favour, Josh. Take that up to Rosalind up the back. She thought she was getting away with it. Right, okay, and the reading is John chapter 1, and it's just verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. John chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Excellent. Thanks, Rosalind. Josh, do you want to go and get a mic from Rosalind? I go. Right. So John the Baptist, he was sent to bear witness of a light. He said, "Evil, I'm not the light, but there's somebody coming after me who is the true light." Who do you think that is? Who is the true light coming after John the Baptist? Who do you think?
God and Jesus.
Yeah. You're clever, you are, see? Yes, double answer there. Yes, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the true light that John the Baptist was waiting for. And he says, he's coming after me. I'm not the light, but he is the true light. Now then, we got another reading here. Who shall I pick on this time?
My mum.
Your mum again?
Or my nana.
Or your nana. Okay, let's pick on your nana, I think. Because your dad's singing. Take up to your nana. Okay, Lynn. John chapter 8, verse 12. And this is going to prove that what John said was true. The true light was the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 12.
John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Wow. Oop, I need the mic back. Jesus said, he is the light of the world, and they that follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of the world. Tell me, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that you've got the light of the world, and he dwells within you. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to have the light of Christ dwelling within you. That means you're not walking in darkness anymore. So no matter what's happening in the world and all the terrible things that goes on in the world, Jesus dwells within you. And that light is the most wonderful light you can have. We're going to read next from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to pick on somebody this time. Matthew chapter 5. Let's have a go. There's loads over here. Bethan looks promising. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read 14 until 16.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Wow. So, if you let your light shine before men, they will see your good works, and they will glorify God in heaven. So, this is one thing. It's not about us then. It's not about us at all. This is about God. Do you know what we like? We are like a notice board. Aren't we? We are like a notice board. If you go out the front for there, and you look at the notice boards, are you interested in notice boards or what's on them? Hello? Are you interested in the notice boards or what's on them? So when you're driving along the road, say down the M4 or on the A470, when you look at the sign, do you say, do you know, that's a lovely sign that is? And then you drive past and you say, oh, where are we going? No, you're not interested in the actual sign itself. but the information that's on the sign. So when people look at you, it's not so much you they're interested in as who you're pointing to and the information that you've got to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the important thing, okay? It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing is, when you've got that light shining in you, you mustn't hide it. What would be the point in me lighting a candle here and then putting a bucket on the top of it? That would be a bit weird, wouldn't it? The bucket would probably catch fire. Or it would go out, because eventually the air would run out. And it would be just a bit silly, wouldn't it? But if I lit it and there were no other lights in here, it would give light to the church. And that's going to be our next song, which is number 7089. 7089. And we'll all stand for this one. Do you know this one? You don't know it? Never. Do you know this one, Auntie Elaine? Sort of. Up you get, we'll learn it now. I'll have to sing extra loud, sadly. Although I don't know it myself. Considering you didn't know it, here's the thing. Right, I'm going to ask Josh to do something now up there. He thought he escaped it. Josh, can you put all the lights on full, the spots? Press the button full on. That is bright, isn't it? But the problem is that sometimes we think it's all about us, and we want all the attention, and we want all the lights on us, but it's not about us. Do you know, if I had a big mirror in front of me now, I could reflect that up to the Lord, because it's not about me, it's about the Lord. And when people see us and how we live our lives, they should really be thinking, do you know what, that's a wonderful Christian there, and they glorify God. Okay, Josh. Oh, thank you. See, the money was well spent on those lights. Okay, now then, thing is, how do we do our good works? Well, good works are good, but they don't save you. Good works won't get you to heaven. Trusting in Jesus gets you to heaven. But thing is, people can't always see that we are Christians, but they look at what we do, they keep an eye on our life, and they think, yeah, there's something different about that person there. Do you know what? I think it's definitely, I'd like to find out more about that person. But when we do things, we should always do it without complaining or murmurings, is what the Bible says. Does anybody know what murmuring means? It's a strange word, isn't it? Right. Is this on?
Like muttering?
Muttering? What? Muttering? You know, I need to go Specsavers. They do hearing aids as well. Muttering. Yeah, that is a brilliant, brilliant description. Absolutely. Murmuring is strange. Now, if I had asked everybody in the church to start murmuring, I wonder what it would sound like. Go on, have a go. Yeah, that's moving. Do you know what they said? Well, John is normally short. We'd be up early today. What's he going on about? He's going on a bit this morning. Murmuring is, yes, like when you're talking just below and maybe being a bit sneaky and muttering about somebody and not really saying very nice things. And do you know, it's exactly what the devil did, Satan did when he was in heaven. He went round and he started murmuring and muttering to the other angels. And they became discontented and things like that. And he started building up some support. And when he had enough support, he said, my throne, he said, will ascend above God's. But you know what God said? Oh no, it won't. And it came down from, and he came down from heaven like a bolt of lightning. Not only him, all those who followed him as well. Muttering and murmuring is not very good in the church. Now then, we can have another reading. Philippians chapter 2. I think we need somebody like a referee or somebody like that to do a reading. You were mum? Oh, okay, you've escaped this one, ref. Claire. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, 14 until 16.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain.
Oh, well done, Claire. Thank you very much. Absolutely. So when we do things, people are watching us. And if we start arguing and murmuring and disputing, that's arguing, okay? It's not a good sign for the world to see. So when we do things, when our mums and dads tell us to do things, what should we do? Just do them, innit? Just get on and do it. Yeah, what do you think, mums and dads? Oh, I don't know. They don't seem... Shall we try again? What do you think, mums and dads? Yes. What do you think, children? that was the line of teenagers said no then, which is what you would expect really, I suppose. Yeah, we should do these things that we would be blameless and harmless. We don't want to harm people, do we? Right? The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In other words, in a world which is full of sin and doing terrible things, right, we should shine as lights in the world. So when people look on us, they're not looking for blame, to blame us for anything, but we are there to shine for Jesus, holding forth the word of life. And that's the word of God, it's the word of life, because through Jesus, people have everlasting life. You are called to shine for Jesus. Our next reading is going to be Ephesians 5, 8. And this time the ref isn't getting away with it. Ephesians 5 verse 8.
It was for that. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light.
Excellent. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Neil. Yes, we are children of the light. And we go walk as children of the light. So that means following Jesus. And we sing it, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. It's a wonderful thing to follow Jesus, isn't it? We're going to sing another one now. And that is number 7506. 7506. Let's all stand, shall we? Oh, it's three. Thank you. shine for Jesus all the time. But the thing is, some things try to stop us shining. What do you think stops a light from being as bright as it can be? Hands up. If you've got a torch, shall we say, or you put a candle up or something like that, what stops it being nice and bright?
Batteries
could go. That's a good one. If the batteries go, do you know what? Sometimes when we don't read our Bibles, it's like the battery is going. And we should be constantly reading our Bibles because it's like being charged up all the time. But what about dust and dirt and things like that? Yeah, that can. And really, that means sin is getting in the way. Lots of things are blocking out the light so people can't see it. So we got to be very careful that sin doesn't become get in the way of the light. How can you shine for Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what, one way you can shine. We're going to sing it. 7033. Let's stand up as we sing it. And this is for adults and children. Okay? Careful. Things that we can do, just the way we live our lives, day in, day out, that can give glory to God, okay? And it's how we can shine for Jesus, just by living a sin-free life. It's very difficult, but by doing so, we give glory to God. And it's important that we're careful in what we say, okay? Right, and one more verse, Ephesians 4, verse 29. Come this side this time. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Eve. Ephesians 4, verse 29. No, it doesn't say.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Excellent. So when you say something, it should be encouraging to the people who are hearing it. And if you tell people about Jesus, that is very edifying, because it may lead them to become a Christian and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Do you know, people will be drawn to you if you are a light for Jesus. But the devil will try to stop people listening to you and will put all sorts of obstacles in their way. So make sure your light is nice and bright so people can see it. Tell me, where do spiders like to build their webs? I've noticed this. Yeah, in houses. There's been a lot of big spiders in the house lately. There's one in the sink this morning. And I didn't see it. And you know, you have that sudden movement. Makes you jump a little bit. Sorry, Len. But yeah, quite a big one in the sink this morning. So I had to catch him and put him out. I chucked him in my neighbour's garden, actually. So if he goes back in the house, hopefully he'll go in their house. But yeah, where else do they like to build their webs?
In corners?
In corners, yeah. Anywhere else?
Trees.
Trees, definitely. Anywhere else? You don't know. I think. Do you know where I think they like to build it? What I've seen them, usually where there's light. Because insects get drawn to light. And just as... What about you? Oh, right, just check. Right. Right, where do you think spiders like to build their webs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. In, they like to... And they put it over the light. And just when people are being drawn to you, so Satan will put traps to stop people getting to the light. And suddenly, just like an insect will get caught in a web, people get pulled away and stopped from getting to where they got to go. Now then, a little bit of a story to finish. Right, this is a true story. When I was a youngster, a few years ago, yeah, strange when I was thinking of this, I thought I'm going to get a reaction, yeah. When I was a youngster, a couple of years ago, okay, I used to live in a little village up in the Brecon Beacons. Now then, it was only little village it was, but most of my friends, they were farmers, and they lived up in farms way up in the hills, and I used to go up and see them regular. And there were lots of ways you could get there. You could follow the country lanes, or you could go up over the mountains. Now, this was in the winter, and it was cold. But it was a lovely day, and I thought, I'm going to go up and see my friend on the farm. Because he used to go up regular. So I set off, and I thought, I'll go over the mountain this time. Now, it was quite a climb over the mountain, but I thought, this was going to be great. I'll enjoy this. It was a beautiful day, cold day, but the clouds were starting to build behind me. So off I went, and it was about 12 o'clock, something like that. Now then, the thing is, in the olden days, we never had mobile phones or anything, okay? So my friend didn't know I was on my way up to see him because he didn't even have a phone in the house. And I didn't have a phone in the house. We just didn't have phones in those days. The only phone you see in the village was a telephone box. And you used to put money in and you had to press a button for A or B and then you get connected. But only a few of you remember that, I'm sure. But so off I went. I told my dad, I'm going up to see Gareth on the farm. So fair enough, he said, take care. And off I went up over the mountain. And as I was walking, it was a lovely, lovely day. But I stopped and I started chatting with one of the shepherds who was up in the hills. And he was taking care of the sheep up in the hills. And I had a good chat with him. Oh, I was there for a long time talking with him. And in the end, I thought, I'm going to have to go. I said, it's getting on a little bit now. And time has started moving on. So off I started walking again. Now, up on top of the mountain... up on top, right up on top of the mountain, there were big holes in the ground. Some of them were filled with water, and they were like ice cream cones. They went down like that. Very strange. What do you think caused them? That's unusual. Any idea? Even the grown-ups are mystified on this one. What do you think could have caused big holes in the ground shaped like a cone? Really odd. Bombs. It was bombs. Strangely enough, many, many years ago during the war, a German bomber was chased from Swansea up over the valleys, and to make himself go quicker, he dropped his bombs, and he created all these holes in the floor. They were great for some of the sheep because they had fresh water up on the mountains, but you had to be careful when you're walking, because if you slipped down, the sides were very steep. And my friends went up at one stage. Sadly, a Spitfire was shot down, and they managed to pull the engine down, a Merlin engine, Rolls-Royce engine, take back the farm, and also half a propeller blade. Anyway, that's a side issue. Nothing to do with the story. But, anyway, so you had to be careful when you were walking up there. Do you know what? It started getting dark, and I thought, here's a problem now. I'm going to really have to move. So I started climbing and climbing and climbing. And by the time I got to the top of the hill, the clouds had come over. And guess what had happened? It started to snow. And I was up on top of the mountain. I had my duffel coat on. And I had my wellies. So, do you know what a duffel coat is? Ask your parents. I had my duffel coat on and I had my wellies on, so I was okay. But I didn't have gloves on, so I had to be careful. So I was up on top of the mountain and it was getting dark, and by this time I thought, oh, I'm going to have to really motor. Now my friends lived way down the other side and halfway up the other side of the mountain, So I had to move quite quickly. And eventually I got to the top and I was looking down and the snow was there. Cold, and I was trying to make out where the farm was, because it was quite a distance, and I thought, this is going to be tricky, but I started then going down, and it was getting dark by this time, and I was looking, and it was quite dark, and then suddenly, way in the distance, I could see a little light starting to flicker, and it got brighter, and brighter, and brighter, and why it started off dim and started getting bright, why do you think that happened? Why do you think it started off dim and got brighter and brighter and brighter?
You got closer to the light.
No. Something else was going on. Now, they didn't have electricity up there. Oh, you know, don't you? Do you know?
Getting darker.
It was getting darker. It was actually dark by now. Good boy, it was dark by now. But actually, it's because they didn't have electricity. Do you know what they used to have? A generator. So they had to go out in the shed, and they had to wind this handle on this machine, and that started going, and eventually it started going, and as more and more power came into it, so it got brighter and brighter. As a lesson for us as Christians, do you know, if you pray and read your Bible every day, it's like more and more power going into you, and your light as Christians will get brighter and brighter. So there it was, and I could see this light way in the distance shining, and I thought, great, I know where they are now. I can focus on that light and start going towards it. So I started going way down the mountain. As I started going down, suddenly the light started flickering a little bit, and it wasn't the snow that was coming. Something else was going on. I thought, that's odd. And do you know where it was? I was coming to a woodland. It was all woods. And the trees were getting in the way. And the branches were getting in the way. And I thought, oh, I can just see the light. So I started going down. And I had to be really careful, because as I made my way through the wood, which made it even darker, the branches were sticking through. And I had to keep my head down. Occasionally I hit my head and I tripped over the roots as well. I made my way through the woods, and I managed to get out the other side, and I could see the light again. I was a bit lower in the mountain now, so I could see it there. I thought, all right, I'll keep focusing on that. And I started going down the mountain some more, and the snow was getting a bit heavier, and I was getting cold. And eventually, I got down right into the valley, and guess what was waiting for me? What was that? Put your hands up if you think, you know, what was waiting for me in the valley. It's always waiting for us in the valleys.
Either your friend or your dad.
No. Sadly, they weren't. My friend or my dad wasn't waiting for me. Something else was waiting for me, and it'd been a long time waiting for me. What do you think?
Tree.
What's that?
Tree.
Tree? No, I just finished all the trees. I tell you what, it makes a strange noise. And they usually start at the top of valleys and make their way down. What's that? Say, nice and loud.
A river.
Yay! It was a river. So there I was, all scratched from going through the woods, cold, and it was a river that I had to cross. And I knew I'd have to cross it at some stage. Now, there are stepping stones, but I couldn't find where they were because it was dark. And I thought, oh, I got to cross this river now to get to the other side before I can start climbing up. So I was looking, and I couldn't see. It was dark. So I thought, I'll just try putting my wellies in, just try and find them. And I didn't. I thought, oh, it's going to be cold water. I hope it don't go over my wellies. I put down, oh, it was okay. It was all right. And I put the other welly in. And then I thought, oh, this is good. And then all of a sudden, I went down like that, and all the water poured over my wellies and into my, oh, and it was freezing cold water. But I thought, ah, oh, here we are. I'm wet now and I'm cold. So I just carried on, trudged, and I managed to get to the other side, and I scrambled out the bank. And I jumped up, and I took my wellies off and poured all the water out, and it was horrible. But, you know, I looked up, and I could see the light not far in front of me now. I thought, great, I'm getting there. Oh, I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing light does, isn't it? It keeps you on target. So I started walking towards our light, and I'm getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden, oh, do you know, I'd forgotten my friends had been digging a drainage ditch. So I fell down the ditch. And I landed in this ditch. And it was full of mud and horrible. And I had to start scrambling out of it. And eventually I got to the back gate of the farm. And it was horrible. It was cold and it was wet and full of mud. But you know, the light was there, kept me on target. Without that light, I wouldn't have known where I was going. I'd have been lost. And the thing is, my dad wouldn't have known I'd have got lost because there was no telephone or anything. And my friends wouldn't have known I was coming. So it was a strange situation. But eventually I climbed over the back gate. And my friend said, oh, he said, John, just in time. We're about to clean the cow sheds out. So... So I arrived just in time to do the work. But this is the importance of shining for Jesus and keeping your light nice and bright, because people will look at you and will in you they will see the light of Christ shining. And that's important, because when you draw people to you, you can then, like a notice board or like a signpost, direct them to Christ. Okay, we got notice boards out the front. And guess what? When the light is off, no one knows what's on them. But when the light is switched on, everybody can see the instructions on them. They know when the services are in the church. And then people will come into the church. It's the same with you. If your light is on, okay, people will be able to look at you and be pointed to Jesus. So keep your light nice and bright. Keep it shining. And always give glory to the Lord. Right, you've been very good. We're going to sing one more hymn, and then we're going home. Now this evening, Brother Kevin is going to be with us, up from Barry and Anna, so do pray for them. Let's sing our last hymn, 9501. And let's stand as we sing. And after, maybe I could ask Julian if you would close in prayer for us. Thanks, Julian. Thank you.
Well, no.